What's up, Conference USA fans? And welcome back to another episode of the CUSA Insider Podcast, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Jessica Raffer, and it is the week of love. Valentine's Day is on Saturday, and it is a lot to love about Conference USA right now. We are literally heating up in basketball. We got softball just started last week. FIU did amazing. Baseball's what? Opening day? Friday?
Friday,
Okay, I'm right. Friday, Thursday, I'm not sure. That's all your realm. That's not mine. But as always, when I am in this seat, Eric Jones is in our co-host seat, and we are wearing pink today. A little dusty
pink. Not as close as I can get stank, but it works.
Pink's is not dusty pink. He said it's giving red, but I think it's dusty pink.
If you look close enough, it is red, but it's about as close as I can get to pink, so we'll roll with it.
I have a very vibrant pink, so it's okay. I'm wearing pink for the both of us, I guess. But hey, FIU softball, amazing weekend for them. Beat Louisville twice.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just an insane opening weekend for them.
Oh, yeah. You love to see it in softball, just all these tournaments, a lot going on, a lot of teams playing a lot of games. But that one definitely stuck out to us. Shout out FIU softball, and excited to see, where the season takes them.
For sure. And baseball is starting this Friday. You're a big baseball fan. You know all of that stuff. Oh, yeah. Give us a little sneak peek. What's happening?
Yeah. A lot to take in with baseball this year, with everything, WKU losing a lot of guys, but we trust, Coach Raritan to bring guys in again. He's got a great track record in the JUCO world. We all know baseball-wise that there's a lot of talent in junior college. So excited to see how he built this roster back up again. The defending champs, but DBU is going to be right there again, of course, always with Coach Hefner there, and his guys will be ready to go. Ryan Borberg. He'll probably be toeing the rubber Friday, but excited to see those two teams. And, we got a couple more too, Delaware, Missouri State, first years in the league, in baseball now. So, Missouri State's got a great, program, had a great history. Excited to see what they can bring to this league. And Louisiana Tech, of course, they're always a powerhouse with Coach Burroughs. Just down the road from us, they always have great attendance, year in, year out. Their fans get behind them. So, a lot of good to look at in the baseball world. Super excited.
It's a lot of exciting stuff in Conference USA basketball right now. We could start with the men's, and we have a lot of fun little statistics.
Fun little stats. Yeah, this time of the month, we usually get a good batch of notes. So I'm going to rattle some off here. This season, 10 of our 12 Conference USA men's teams have a higher overall field goal percentage than they've allowed. This is the fourth highest such percentage among all D1 conferences behind the SEC, the Big 12, and the A-10. So really good company. Maybe not a stat you'll look at all the time, but pretty dang cool stuff. On to the next. This season's Liberty team is seventh in Conference USA history to begin at 12-0 or better. The last team to do it was the 2012-2013 Memphis Tigers, who went 16-0 in the regular season and won the conference tournament. So, and that included a 19-0 mark, including conference tournament play. So excited to see where this Liberty team's going. Liberty's also 10-1 in games decided by single digits, which includes a 9-game win streak in those games. It is the fourth best record in games decided by single digits in D1. And lastly, on the Liberty side, Zach Cleveland, first of all, shout out
to him.
We've been waiting for it. He finally gets a triple double.
I've been talking up this triple double.
Waiting for it.
And it has finally happened.
Finally got it. Super, super stoked for him. But he ranks right now first in Conference USA in assists, tied for fourth in steals, and tied for second in blocks. So he's doing it all. The last player to finish a season top five in all three for CUSA was Marquette's Dwayne Wade.
Wow.
In 2002-2003. So pretty cool note there. Yeah. Old D. Wade, Zach Cleveland, D. Wade, and good company there. I also want to give a shout-out to Jack State's Mustafa Elmu Ta'uakil. I think I got it right there. We're going to call him Mo going forward. He has 18 games with at least 15 points and 5 rebounds this season, which is tied for 4th in D1. The only other players with more are Duke's Cameron Boozer, Elon's Chandler Cuthrell, and BYU's A.J. DeBonsa. So, again, really good company there. Two of those guys probably going to be top five draft picks. So really, really fun stuff notes-wise. So thanks to our friends at Stats Perform for
– they give us such good stuff. Oh, my gosh.
Handing those out. But I think we got to talk about Liberty.
Absolutely.
You know, Zach Cleveland, we just mentioned the triple-double. He had 19, 10, and 11 on Saturday. Just incredible stuff. The guy's always, he's doing a week in, week out. I was finally excited to see him get to that mark. You know, he is the 23rd player ever to do so in a Conference USA jersey. He's the 12th ever to do it in a CUSA conference game. So just elite company. I think Hassan Whiteside has the most with three all time in CUSA. So Zach Cleveland, keep
it's
doing
phenomenal.
Keep doing your thing, dude. It's been really fun to watch. And just the way he's leading this offense and this team. You know, they had a little bit of a scare there.
Mm-hmm. It's Delaware.
Against Missouri State. Against Missouri State on Saturday.
Back game.
We're up double digits. You know, ended up winning by three there against Missouri State at home, but got the win. You know, Brett Decker Jr. actually led in scoring that game. You know, Zach Cleveland got a lot of the praise with the triple double, but Brett Decker doing his thing again. He's still shooting over 50%.
He spells out every game for
him. Yeah, he's, I think, second in the country right now in 3-point percentage at 50, a little over 50%. Incredible stuff. If this team, man, this is a dangerous team come March. You give them a right matchup in the tournament, they could do a lot of damage. So excited to see where Liberty's going. Keep winning, guys. Keep winning. It's been really fun to watch. 14-game win streak. You know, and they'll be on the road this week, so it'll be really, really cool. Also want to talk about Jack State. You know, they had two kind of under-the-radar wins this week, but put them at second place in sole possession of second place right now in league standings at 8-4. You know, we talked about Mo. He had 19 of his game-high 26 points in Saturday's win against Kennesaw State in the first half. A big rivalry win for them. Mm-hmm. You know, Kennesaw State, a team that plays really well at home, has struggled on the road. Jack State gave it to them. Won by 19 there at the Pete Coliseum. So, Jay Nash also had 19 points. He was 8 of 8 from the free throw line. So this team playing really good ball right now, kind of under the radar.
Yeah.
Coach Harper's got these guys playing, and it's probably how he wants them to be playing, is just kind of,
let's just do our thing. Yeah.
Let's just get our wins and get out. And, you know, yeah, they're sitting there at the top of the standings. Sam Houston had the big win streak going into the week. Had a tight win against UTEP, probably closer than they wanted it to be on, what was that, Wednesday night, 70-66 at home, but kept the win streak going. And, unfortunately, you know, we talked about how Sam had played La Tech the week prior. Well, they got to go to Ruston this time and take on a La Tech team that is really good at home, but coming off a home loss against New Mexico State. La Tech came out victorious in this one. You know, Saturday was the day of the home sweep. I think all six home teams won on Saturday. But yeah, sad to see Sam Houston's win streak go, but I think they'll be just fine. Hopefully we can see them get back in the win column this week. But that's really all I got on the men's side. We got some really fun games to look out for this week. We got Wednesday night, Liberty going to New Mexico State. I think this will be really interesting to watch. Liberty hosted New Mexico State just last month and only won by two in Lynchburg. New Mexico State kind of gave them a run for their money there in the last couple of moments, but Liberty obviously came out victorious. We will see how that matchup goes in Las Cruces. You know, obviously a tough travel kind of across the country in a sense. Mm-hmm. So definitely interesting to watch out for. That is on ESPN Plus at 8 p.m. Central Time Wednesday night. Thursday, I will definitely be looking at La Tech, Missouri State.
Absolutely. You
know, anytime I circle La Tech on the road, I'm waiting for them to just finally kind of show what they do at home on the road. And Missouri State 7-5 right now in league play. Keith Pellick, he's been doing it nicely. He had 25 points in their loss to Liberty over the weekend. So nothing to hang his head about. They'll be back home. This one's on the CBS Sports Network at 7:30 on Thursday night. We actually have a CBS Sports Network doubleheader Thursday night. It'll be Middle Tennessee at Kennesaw at 5:30, and then this La Tech Missouri State game at 7:30 right after. A couple more real quick. I'm looking out for Sam Houston at Kennesaw State. We'll see, kind of get to see hopefully how, you know, Sam Houston bounces back from this loss. But Kennesaw State's back
at home. Yep.
So something's got to give here. Excited to see how this matchup goes. It was a track meet last time in Huntsville. I think 93-87 Sam Houston won. So excited to see how that one goes. And then got to give Middle Tennessee and WKU their love. They're playing at 7 o'clock in Bowling Green Saturday night. You know, WKU and Middle Tennessee kind of, you know, Middle Tennessee's lost 5 straight. Mm-hmm. They're hoping to get back in the win column. They're still in the mix, in the thick of it. WKU's 6-7 right now. So,
and it's a rivalry game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. WKU got the last, one against them, 65-60 in Murfreesboro. Middle Tennessee will want to go into Bowling Green and do what they did to them. So that's really all I got for men's hoops this week. It's been a fun one. But yeah, excited for these matchups this week.
It is a lot of stuff going on in men's, but it is just as much going on on the women's side.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I talk to our NCAA like reps, we have to talk about the tournament. I try to get at-large bids and stuff like that. I'm like, this is the most interesting season I've had just even doing women's basketball in my career. Just like every night, I'm like, what in the world is going on? I literally text Cliff, who's over our basketball. We're just like, oh. Another team got one off on, you know, somebody that's up on the standing. So it's just like any team can win any night. You can't count anybody out. And I think that's just like that on the men's side right now. It's just like even Liberty playing close to some of these other teams. You're like, oh, is it the streak about to end now? And then Liberty comes back. But it's just as interesting on the women's side. And of course, we have some interesting notes to talk about, too. Conference USA teams are shooting 32.6% from three-point range in Conference USA play this season. That's the second highest among Division I conferences. The Big Ten, they're at 34.2. TSA has two teams in the top 10 in conference three-point range. Louisiana Tech is shooting just amazing from the three-point. They are 38.79%. That's seventh. Middle Tennessee is at ninth with 38.76%. So just lights out from the three-point range. And then, you know, if Liberty was just doing what they're doing, I'm pretty sure they would be right up there too. But hey, they're not even too far behind. La Tech is doing absolutely amazing things. It's just that program has such a rich history. Are we even surprised at this point? But they're averaging 75.3 points per game while only allowing 59.4 per game. No women's team in Conference USA history has ever averaged at least 75 points per game while holding their opponents under 60 points per game for a season. The only men's team to do that was the 2008-2009 Memphis, and they earned them the number 2 seed in the NCAA tournament that year.
Y'all know that team. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, the simple fact that you're not even comparing a women's team to a women's team. It's a women's team, and you have a comparison.
National contender, exactly. Yeah, national championship.
The number 2 seed at that in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Just an insane stat line for them. I want to just talk about Sam Houston. They're holding their opponents to 13.5% from the three-point attempts per game this season, and that's just their defense. Yeah, and that's third in Division I.
Wow.
Sam Houston will be the first USA team to rank in the top 5 and fewest three-point attempts per game since DePaul in 1999 to 2000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just crazy. FIU's Rima Collins, we talked about how good she is, just scoring and rebounding as well. She's one of 7 Division I players averaging at least 18 points, 1 steal, and 1 block per game this season. She's the only qualified CSA player to do that in the last 10 seasons, and along with UTSA's Jordan Jenkins in the 2022-2023 season. And then Kamen Beckemeyer, we're surprised that we're even mentioning her right now, from Missouri State. She's one of 12 Division I players averaging at least 18 points and 9 rebounds per game this season. She's among those 12 players. Beckemeyer has the second most made three-pointers, 43, behind Richmond's Maggie Dugan, and she has 68. So, amazing stat lines, just on both sides. Shout out to Sac Perform Again.
Love them. Oh, yeah.
Man, whatever platform they're using for these stats, please thank you. I love it.
Incredible. It really is incredible. And I look forward to – I try and get them at least one little nugget each week. And, hey, can y'all kind of look and dive into this a little deeper? And they always come back with something. Just something great. So,
got to start off by talking about Louisiana Tech. Yep. They are on a 10-game winning streak. That is their longest winning streak since the 2010-2011 season. It's the longest winning streak under Brick Store since she's been at Louisiana Tech. So just amazing things that they're doing right now. They were on the road at UTEP New Mexico State. We already know how hard that travel can be. But Gianna Morris, Paris Bradley, Jordan Marshall, we talked about how they have such a young starting lineup. And Brooke Store, we have her as a guest on our podcast this week. And we talked about that, how there are a a young team, they have no seniors and they only have one grad student. Everybody else is freshman, a sophomore, a junior. And I think that's just so well because they're playing at a mature level. Like, you would think that this is a veteran heavy team, and it's really not. Like, Gianna Morris has been with Brooke Stewart since her freshman year, so she already knows the system. Alexia Weaver, she's a transfer, and then you have three sophomores that starting for her. So all fairly new people, kind of just, you know, still getting used to what Brooke has to offer for her system, but they are buying in and they're just unselfish. Every time I look at the box score, it's whoever gets in, they're scoring at least 1 point. And that's what you want in a team. You want them to spread the love. You don't want any selfish players. And right now, whatever team chemistry Brooke has done in the all season, still doing it in the season, it is working amazingly for them. And they're just, 4-1 at home in conference play, 6-0 on the road. And we talk about how usually Louisiana Tech, as I think a whole on the men's and women's, they're not really play as up to their potential on the road. But this year, Louisiana Tech is not doing that. They're 6-3 overall away. So they've been doing good on the road, at home. It doesn't really matter. They are just on a hot winning streak. And it's just fun to watch them. They attack the basket like it's nothing. You know, you want people to do that. And then from the three-point line, amazing. We just talked about what their percentage is and just the Division I as a whole. So their system is working.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting. You look at them, you know, being so high in the preseason poll. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people wonder, you know, they haven't been at the top of the league last couple of years. It's been Middle Tennessee. It's been Liberty. And now you're seeing them, I think, finally get that confidence. And hopefully, you know, they weren't like too over their heads in the beginning of the season. It's just preseason poll. It is what it is. You know, that coach talk. But I think they're finally, I mean, obviously gaining a bunch of confidence. Winning 10 straight games is no slouch. But this team's getting a lot of confidence. They're young, but with that youth brings a lot of fire too. So I think they're mixing a good mix of maturity, fiery, and they're just playing confident basketball right now, which is really fun to watch.
For sure. They lost that very first conference game against Sam Houston, and they said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
We are not, this is not changing the trajectory, what we were supposed to do this season, and they have been absolutely on fire. We've been having some changes in our standings other than Louisiana Tech. Sam Houston and Missouri State, they moved up to 7-3 with Middle Tennessee going 0-2 last week. Because, you know, Middle Tennessee was holding that second spot there for a while these past couple weeks. But they went 0-2 against Missouri State and FIU this week. Sam Houston went 1-1. You cannot sleep on New Mexico State. I say this about Delaware. I say this about FIU. And who I haven't talked about is New Mexico State. Because every other week, or, you know, sometimes they'll just come out. They gave Missouri State their first conference loss. And now you're giving – and people that's high up on the standings, New Mexico State do. And I think they just come out and they play and their defense, and then they score also. So New Mexico State is definitely a team to watch. You don't want to count them out at all. But they were also, at home. So I think New Mexico State does very good at home. They don't do as well as – on the road, what are they? 1-4 on the road. They're 3-3 at home. So, typical team, kind of, you know, on the road, you're probably a little jet lag, probably a little, you know, but at home, who doesn't love to play at home?
Exactly.
New Mexico State won that one 65-57 over Sam Houston. But then they fell to La Tech, of course, with La Tech went out on 77-58. And I think another thing just to talk about La Tech, what their past 10 games, they've been winning 8 of them in double figures, or and then what the other two like 20. Yeah. So they have been doing extremely well. But then what? Sam Houston bounced back and they won, oh my gosh, against UTEP 70-58. It's a lot of things to look at on this sheet, right? But Sam Houston's at 7-3. Missouri State is at 7-3. Missouri State had a 2-0 weekend against Middle Tennessee and WKU. I'm trying to think of travel partners as I'm talking about this.
Oh, yeah.
But Missouri State, hey, they beat Middle Tennessee 60-54. And they were on – no. Middle Tennessee was on the road this week. But amazing things. Kamen Beckemeyer, this girl is going to have a show every weekend. I think, like, she's had 11 20-point games. She's always scoring in double figures. I think she had, like, one or two games or three games this season where she didn't touch double figures at all. But what are you? Overall, you have 15. You're 15-8. You know how many games that is? Math is hard. Probably 20-something games.
23.
You're like, easy. 23. Me, I'm like 15 plus 8. I don't know. But 23 games and you're scoring highly like that. That is a girl to watch out for sure. And I'm pretty sure she's number one in everybody's scouting report when you're trying to go up against Missouri State. And people have a hard time getting around her. You saw that in the top play that can't counter off. That's Steph Curry. So she had a defender in three. She said, nope. And then knocked down to three. So that girl has been so good for Missouri State. FIU is 7-4. They had a 2-0 week. Really good week for them. They won against Middle Tennessee as well. They won against WKU. What was the score for? Oh, 60-58 against Middle Tennessee. That one came down to the wire. That one was like neck and neck, just back and forth battle. And we all know FIU is good at home too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Whatever it is about the Ocean Bank Convocation Center, they love it because that atmosphere for them and who they've just beat at home, just who's at the top of the standings, just, you know, like when you come into FIU, it's, might be a doozy.
They know that one's a big one too. They've been in the league for a while now with Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Middle Tennessee's always beating them down. So, you know, that one felt really, really good.
Especially for Jessica Bergsley.
Yeah, not just for this program, but just for the school in general. Mm-hmm. They know how, I wouldn't call it a rivalry, but they've been in the league for a while together. So that one meant a lot for them for sure.
That definitely came down to the wire and they got that one off. But we just got to talk about Rima Collins. She's ranked 9th in the nation for offensive rebounds per game, averaging 4.3. This girl is also somebody that's on the top of the list. I said this last week. That is a contention for player of the year right now. And my guess and my assumption, Kamen Beckemeyer from Missouri State, Rima Collins from FIU, especially if they stay on the top of the standings like they are and they keep doing well as they are during the season, it is going to be a neck and neck battle for these two. I'm excited to see. That is literally what I'm looking for most, especially for postseason. So I love that. Jack State is also just on the men's side. You know, Jack State has been in the mix a little bit, a little sneaker. You know, you don't really hear too much about them because they've been silently getting wins and, you know, staying consistent and either at the top. You know, I think they were like third probably 2 weeks ago, third or fourth. And now, you know, they're in the middle of the pack. They're 6-5. But hey, they got one off of, oh my gosh, Delaware. That is what they got one off, 61-58. It is a lot to look at on this paper, but 61-58, they won against Delaware. And it's crazy because Delaware won an overtime game on Thursday against Kennesaw, 63-60. But that game was insane. They were tied at halftime, tied them in the third quarter, and then, of course, tied in the fourth to go into overtime. No Conference USA game has ever been tied at halftime, at the third quarter, at the fourth quarter, and then to go into overtime. So that game was one for the history books for Conference USA. And so that was just a back and forth battle. I think they held each other to like 0 points until, you know, like nine minutes. I don't know what Joseph Hovey was. I need to read that one back. But they was holding each other points for a long time. Nobody scored anything. And then Delaware gutted that one out with 63-60. And we just talk about how good Delaware is and how they fight and how, you know, they come in and they know they're the underdogs. And that's not what they want their rep to be. And they have proven that this season with all the amount of wins that they've been getting. But, you know, Jack State just bested them a little bit on Saturday with that 61-58 loss to Jack State. But, hey, Delaware is still right there. They're 5-6. Liberty is 5-6. What they lost to Jack State, they won. Delaware, but they lost close game to Liberty, 60-55. That is not a bad loss in my book at all. Especially we know how well Liberty can be this year. They're on a little roller coaster, which, you know, new coach, kind of a new group. They don't have really many returners. You know, Avery Mills, Emmy Stout, they have returns, but they have a bunch of new faces for that Liberty team. So, you know, that comes with it. Growing pains a little bit. They're trying to figure out their system.
For sure.
Especially with the new head coach, because Kerry Green, the amazing career that he had at Liberty. So, but Alexis, hey, he was really under Kerry Green. So he's on. Yeah. I think he's going to figure it out. Just take some time, as one always does. You know, you don't really consider coming out the gate. You would want to, but it doesn't seem as surprising. But with all of those good things in our standings, some games to look at for next week. I always feel like I always say the same teams, but these are some games to look at. You got Missouri State at Sam Houston for Thursday on ESPN Plus at 6:30. FIU at La Tech on ESPN Plus at 6:30 as well. This will be nail biters. You have FIU and Missouri State who just came off a big weekend, 2-0 weekend for them. I mean, La Tech 2-0 weekend. Sam Houston's 1-1. I'm pretty sure they did not like that at all last weekend. And Sam Houston and La Tech, they have the advantage because they're at home. Missouri State and FIU have to travel. But I really doesn't think at this point it doesn't matter.
You
had what? All your home teams winning on Saturday?
That's the first time this season. Usually I feel like I see that more happening. So I was kind of surprised. Like, I think this is the first time this has happened this year. So kind of bizarre. Anything can happen.
Because it's usually like that. But now it's this season, and that's both on men's and women's. It's just like on any given night, you can't count the road team out. You can't count any team out. It's just like you're very surprised. And I am going to be tuned into these games because it's about to be a back and forth battle in my eyes. You know, I think the first quarter, La Tech is known to have a slow start in the first quarter. They did that against New Mexico State this past weekend, and then they had a resilient fourth quarter that, you know, they got that one out. But some people have slow starts. Sam Houston had a slow start against FIU. It was 8-20 in the first quarter when I watched that game. So, and then they came back in the second. So it's going to be a slow start, I think, for all four of these teams. But then once we get into the nitty gritty of the second quarter, the third, it's going to be a battle. So I think these games will come down to the fourth quarter. If it's an overtime game, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But now that I say that, it probably won't be. But that's okay. And I think it will still be a good game overall. In general, on Saturday, Valentine's Day, we all love Valentine's Day. And what better way to spend Valentine's Day than watching some great games?
Come on.
Right. Go to the bar, you know, with your girl, your gal, with your guy, whoever. You want to know a significant other, you know, your lover. Mm-hmm. Let's say that, you know, keep it straight. But FIU Houston, I literally hear day laughing. I was like, at FIU at Sam Houston at 1. We got Missouri State at La Tech at 1 as well. And then also New Mexico State at Liberty. What time is that one? That one is at 1 as well. So at 1 o'clock, you have a gauntlet of some games to watch.
This on Saturday.
You know, before you get ready for your day at night, before, you know, you go to a fancy steakhouse for dinner, like you and Emily.
Maybe we're waiting till Sunday night.
Hey. And that's okay, too.
There's a crowd a little bit.
Yeah. No, you know, no. Who wants to wait in line for an hour anyways? But that's why you make reservations. You schedule ahead. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm teaching y'all something, you know. Little girl, guys, you know, get it together. All right.
We'll be fine.
What? You'll be fine?
We'll be fine.
Okay, good. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there as well. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Great weekend work for Hoops here. And then also, just to tee it up, we got a great interview next with Brooke Storer for Louisiana Tech. Check it out. Join us today on the CUSA Insider Podcast. We have Louisiana Tech's women's basketball head coach, Brooke Storer. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
The Lady Texters are on a 10-game winning streak. That is the longest streak since the 2010-11 season. What has been just the key to this identity of this team?
No, I think just a very unselfish nature. This group is very connected. They play really well together. And I think that they just celebrate each other really well. They don't care about who gets the credit. They've been very balanced, and they know that ultimately, the success of our team is the most important thing, and it's been really, really neat to be around them and watch them grow and just continue to get tougher together.
I know you mentioned being unselfish, and I'm pretty sure that is one of the keys to just sustaining that level of consistency that you have been doing. But you, 8 of the 10 of your wins have come by double figures and 3 by 20 or more. So what has just been the key to that consistency? Is that trust in the system? Of course, you said unselfishness, as we all know, but what else?
Yeah, I think we've got really good players. I think we've got depth, and, you know, everybody talks about, you know, some youth and those things, but we had 3 starting freshmen last year, and they gained some valuable experience, and we're still pretty young other than Gianna Morris, who's a third-year starter for us. Everybody else is a first-year, second-year player in the program, but they're really bought in, and obviously they're very talented, but they play really well together, and I just think our depth has been key for us. We have, you know, you have one or two players that aren't having a great night shooting the basketball, then we have other players that can step up, and I think that they've really embraced that. And I think, you know, when you look at it over the course of conference play, we've had multiple games where we've had all 10 players score. I think we've had 4 different players have a 20-point game. And I think it makes it difficult when you have that depth of, okay, who are you going to go try to take away? Obviously, you know, there's a lot of attention on Paris Bradley and what she's done, and rightfully so. She's just stuffs the stat sheet every night and is so consistent with that. But she's got a great group around her that can really take some pressure off. And we know she doesn't have to go out and get 20 or 25 every night for this group to have a chance to win. And I just think that balance and depth has been really instrumental in this group's success in conference play so far.
Oh, my gosh. I love how you're already teeing up my questions, because my next question was definitely about how you have a young group, especially in your starting lineup. But what has just impressed you most about the maturity of this young group in this 10-game run?
I think that's been huge. You know, we spent a lot of time in the off season, in the summer, and then throughout the year, we spend a lot of time with them on trying to develop some leadership abilities, some characteristics and qualities that help them lead themselves first off, but then lead each other, and giving them some ownership with that. And I just really think that they've bought into that. I think when we, you know, as leaders, we give them some of that ownership and empower them to do that, it just helps them really be engaged and buy in. And this group has taken that to a whole other level. And, you know, I mentioned Paris, but when you're leading scorer and, you know, so preseason player of the year, all those things, the hype that she's had, right, and well-deserved, when she shows up every day and is your most competitive and consistent player in – she leads our team in chest bumps. I mean, we go to UTEP last week and she's scoreless in the first half, which that doesn't happen. Got in foul trouble and she had to sit for a majority of the first half. And she is just celebrating like none other on the bench over there as Gianna Morris hits four threes in the second quarter and Alexia Weep is going off from three. And she has 0 points, but our team is winning and she's cheering her heart out. And I just think that epitomizes what this group is about. And I think in this day and age, that's very rare. And I think it's really special. And so I think we have to acknowledge that special nature about this group. And you've got to continue to praise that and encourage that and develop that as we go, because ultimately, I think that's going to give this team an opportunity when it comes to winning a championship in March.
Oh, my gosh, I love that. It's the buy-in. That's one of the most important things. Your non-conference schedule this year was kind of tough. You opened the season at Arkansas. You went against Baylor, LSU. So just going up against that type of competition before Conference USA play, how did that prepare you?
Yeah, I think every year we try to put our team in a situation where, hey, you're in the first round of the NCAA tournament. You know, most likely you're going to play on someone else's home court, probably a P4 team. And we want to play great competition. That's one of the things that our players, when we recruit them, we want them to be able to play at the highest level possible. And in order to do that, in order to win a conference championship, you have to be in those environments. And, you know, we go to Arkansas. We lose Kennedy Evans 2 days before the Arkansas game to an ACL, which was, you know, she was a big part of our rotation early and played in both scrimmages. And so that was a little bit of, you know, devastating news for us. We go to Arkansas and jump out like 17-3 on them and end up losing that game. And so we start the year 0-2, and it was gut check time of going, okay, we've got to address some things about our group and how we're going to win and how we're going to be successful. And I think they've taken a very mature approach to that. You know, you battle LSU, you're down 8 with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. And that was a big deal for our group of knowing, hey, we can compete on this stage and in this level in this environment. And I think it gave them great confidence. I said, hey, we didn't win this game and we're not about moral victories, but I want you to understand, if you will show up and compete this way every day in practice and in every game, you'll have a chance to win every game from here on out. And I believe that. I believe that we have the talent in that locker room. I think we have the cohesion and the chemistry to do it. Now it's about going out every day and showing up and doing the work and being consistent with that.
La Tech is currently ranked 25th in the nation for in assists at 17.5 per game. And that also leads Conference USA. How intentional has ball movement been in building this offense?
Yeah, I think, you know, Scott and Caleb work, our two assistant coaches work a lot, you know, offensively with our game plan and have just really spent a lot of time of understanding our personnel and what we want to do in terms of spacing. And, you know, everybody talks about, you know, spacing is so key. Well, if you can't shoot, your spacing's not going to be very effective. And I think we have young women that can shoot the basketball, and it forces teams to have to come out and guard you outside the three, which helps your spacing, obviously. But just the importance of ball movement and not being stagnant and being able to make reads, I think, for our group is super important, because we're not running a bunch of sets, and you can't sit there and the other team is, you know, February, March, everybody's calling out what you're running anyway. Well, our reads are based off how we're being defended. And so we feel like there's always an answer. We always have an answer, and we have the right answer to how we're being guarded. It's just a matter of, can we get to correct spots? Can we have that spacing, and can we be patient enough to read our defense and then make the appropriate cut and action out of that? And I think with our players, they've really bought into that. They see that, hey, we can, you know, we've had numerous games where we've had five and double figures, and everybody eats, you know. We can move the ball. It doesn't have to be about one or two people. Our team is at its best when we have that depth and, you know, consistency with our ability to move the basketball. And then obviously you got to make shots, and we have some shot makers, not just shot takers.
You've shot 50% or better from the field 8 times this season. Is that more about shot selection, trust in the system, or just more about that unselfish play?
I think it's all of it. And again, I think it goes back to the buy-in that our players have, but they understand, hey, I can pass up a good shot to get a great shot for a teammate. And I think when you look at, we have 3 different players that are in the top 5, 6 in the conference in assist at like 3.5 or better in conference play. And I think that's huge. When you can have that they understand that some of them want to make an assist and get more enjoyment out of watching, you know, a teammate celebrate a made basket because they set them up and gave them a great pass. There's also an aspect of our offense of, we have people that are screening to get people open, and it's like a hockey assist. It's you're setting up a teammate to be successful, and you're actually not getting credit for it, but in how we chart things and how we, you know, watch film with our group, they are getting credit for it, and they've embraced that role, and they bought into that, and they understand the success of our team. That's paramount in that.
You guys are sitting in first place in the standings right now at 9-1. You guys lost that very first conference game in Sam and Houston. I haven't looked back since. But how do you keep the focus daily improvement rather than the standings?
That exactly. You know, we go every week on Mondays. We come in and we'll do the same today. Of you know, this is our 2-game series this week. This is what we have to do. We've used the term positive discontent a lot with this group this year. And you've got to celebrate all the wins. You've got to celebrate all the little moments along the way, the little successes, because what we do is really hard, and it's a long season, and we're all together a lot. And so it's important that we remember that there's joy in this game, and we all do this because we love it, and we love to compete, and we want to win. But the reality is we have to get better. And so we can be both positive and have a little bit of discontent to how our performance was, or to what we, you know, areas we need to improve. And so this group is really bought into that of, we have to continually get better. You know, it's everybody, oh, well, it's coach speak. You know, you just say those things every week, but it's true. It's do the simple things better. We feel like we have enough talent in this locker room. We have the pieces that we need. It's show up and do simple better. Just do the little things every day. Just show up and do the work. Show up and do the work. We don't care about the outside noise. Those same people that are praising you right now are going to be dogging you at some point when we started 0-2. None of that matters. What matters is our focus every day on, how can I be a great teammate? How can I be coachable? And how can I compete and give great effort? And those 3 things are, you know, core values for our program. And that starts with myself. And trickles down to our support staff and managers and everybody else. And our players have bought into that. And I think it's super important for us to focus on that. It's February the 9th. You know, no championship is won today, just like the championship wasn't lost after we lost the first game to Sam Houston. We didn't set out to go, we want to win 10 in a row. We want to win 11 in a row. We set out to get better every single day. And if we can keep our focus on that, which is really, really hard, in this day and time, because there is a lot of outside noise and a lot of the distractions that can pull us from that. It's being intentional and being focused and prepared every day to do that. And I think we have to set the tone with that consistency, and our players have to see that, and that, and we have to model that and have to encourage them. And when we get out of that, we've got to redirect and get back in that same mode.
This program has such a rich history. How meaningful is it to be accomplishing milestones like this in Conference USA while honoring that tradition?
Well, when you put on that uniform, it's special. And, you know, I've worked at a lot of different places, and I say this all the time, but I have a personal investment in this place, because every opportunity I've had as a young professional and now an older professional came because I had an opportunity to play in this program and to be a part of something that's bigger and greater than ourselves. This place was here long before any of us got here. We'll be here long after all of us are gone. And it's so important for us to understand the legacy, understand the tradition, understand the history, and respect that. But we're trying to add to that daily. And as we have former players, you know, talking to our team, you know, numerous times throughout the year, those are the messages that they share with our team of what it meant to them to be a part of this and how proud they are of them, of how they represent the program on and off the court the way they do. And for me, it's, you know, that's why I came back here, is I want this place to be, you know, at a championship level. I want us to do right by the people that, you know, came before us. You know, I just look at it right now as like I'm a caretaker of this program, and it's important for me to show up every day and to give my best and to do what I can do to allow these young women to experience the best possible situation and experience that they can have during their time in Ruston.
You're definitely adding to the legacy, but as you look ahead to the remainder of the season, what excites you most about this team's potential?
I don't think we put 40 minutes together complete. You know, I mean, I think we've played some really good basketball at times. But I'm excited about how good this group can become, because I don't think we've hit that yet. And I don't think that they've stopped trying to, you know, raise the bar. And it's our job to demand that every day. You know, they can tell you, you know, we may be up 20, but I'm talking about, hey, we just had two straight possessions of poor offensive execution or two turnovers. We've got to have a great shot. We're not communicating on defense. We've got to continually get better. I want to continue to watch this group grow and to see where they can take this thing. We've had some great moments, and don't get me wrong, we're going to celebrate those, and we're excited about where we are. And they will tell you this, we're not satisfied with where we are. We know we can get better. And they know, you know, there are things that we're going to talk about in film today of where we weren't where we need to be on Thursday and Saturday. You know, we have a 15-point lead at halftime on Saturday, and we come out and they cut it to 2 on the road. And, you know, we took a punch and then had a great mature response there in the fourth quarter. And that's what you want to see. You want to see growth. You want to see development. And, you know, we're trying to just get as good as we can get and be playing our best basketball into February, heading into March, where it matters most.
I love that. I want to shift gears just a little bit. We like to ask a fun question here on the CUSA Insider Podcast. It's called CUSA Eats. A lot of people in our office are very curious to hear what are you about to say. But if I was to visit Ruston, where would you tell me to eat?
Oh, gosh. Depends on what you like. If you know, we're in Louisiana, so you probably have to have some sort of Cajun cuisine. So probably go to Ponchatoula's. That's one of my go-tos. If you want a good steak, I think your bovines is your choice for that. And I also love, I love Log Cabin. It, you know, you kind of have a range of Tex-Mex to American cuisine, but I love a good Mexican meal. So I might have to say Gonzalez as well.
Okay, I haven't looked at it yet.
So there you go.
You have a bunch of options. Hey, you gave a lot of stuff for everybody to try. So, no. I love that. I would definitely, once I visit Ruston, I don't know when, but I'll have to come back to this episode and definitely try a place that you said. My last question is always about the fans. So how meaningful has the support just from the Lady Texas fan base been during this run? And what does it mean to your players?
I think it means a great deal. You know, we were stuck on a bus coming back from FIU during the ice storm a couple of weeks ago. And one of the neatest experiences for our players. You know, I got to experience this as a player and then, you know, came back as an assistant coach for 4 years and then went off and then came back 10 years ago as head coach. And a lot of those same people are still here. We've lost a lot, you know, have passed away through the years. But this community really embraces this program and these young women and our student athletes. And we were stuck on a bus a couple of weeks ago, and we had a group of men bring us food at 1:30 in the morning on ATVs when traffic was backed up for miles and miles. And it brought tears to my eyes. It brought tears to some of our players' eyes because they recognize and realize the importance of where they are and the community that supports them. And, you know, I think we've got a great home court advantage, but it's one of the things, it's probably the most special thing about living in Ruston is the people. You know, I think if anybody lives here for any period of time, they understand that the people make this place. And I'm very grateful for the support that our program has gotten through the years. I love that our young women are getting to experience that as they run out that tunnel in the TAC, but also when they see young people around the community and families, you know, our kids go to church or show up at a restaurant, they're seeing those relationships develop. And, you know, we'll have players leave and still keep in touch with families that they and relationships that they built here. And I think that's what's special about college athletics, but certainly special here in Ruston, Louisiana.
You guys definitely have devoted fans, and I know you guys love that. Well, that's all I have for you, Brooke. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck this week, and just good luck the rest of conference play.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Go Texters.
All right, Conference USA fans, that is all we have for you on today's episode of the CUSA Insider Podcast, the official podcast of Conference USA. Of course, don't forget to follow us on social at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. For all of our audio listeners, I didn't forget this time, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. For all of our visual people, thank you for tuning in. Keep watching us on YouTube. And if you are the audio listener, you want to switch over to visual, words are hard, guys. Oh my gosh. Type in the search bar, Conference USA on YouTube, and you can look at our podcast playlist and see all of our beautiful faces. Like I say every week, again, happy Valentine's Day. Go eat lunch or eat dinner with the love of your life. I wish I was doing that, but I'm your host, Jessica Radford, and I'll see you guys next week.